welcome to Me number 4.
Yeah, a podcast all about us.
Yes.
Hey, guess what I'm wearing?
Regular clothes?
Yeah, how'd you guess? Because I was right next to you?
Because it's a regular show. It's not a regular show. It's not a themed show. It's just the things we've been doing.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm right in front of you, so yes. You can see the outfit. again, not a visual podcast, but I'm making gestures with my hands. Sexy gestures.
Yeah, he's just kind of like miming a penis.
Anyway, before we go down the penis hole.
I think we found a title for the episode. Before we go down the penis hole, ...
Oh god, this one's going to be rough.
As always, I'm Zach.
I'm Stuart.
I'll go first this time, since you want to go down the penis hole.
No, I don't want to go down that hole. But yes, go first.
So I saw this movie, it's on Netflix right now, called Moonwalkers.
Moonwalkers. Oh, is it about Michael Jackson?
No.
Oh.
No. No, so it's about the American government trying to hire Stanley Kubrick to fake the moon landing in case the moon landing doesn't happen.
Wow, that's so far away from Michael Jackson.
Yes, that is not Michael Jackson at all. It's got Ron Perlman and Rupert Grint in it.
Oh, yeah.
Rupert Grint plays this kind of hustler who kind of tricks Ron Perlman, who is an American. He's a military operative. I don't think he's CIA, though. But he gets pulled out of Vietnam because he knows how to handle situations. And the government... It's on the eve of the moon landing, and so they go, well, we don't know if this is going to work 100%. We need to hire someone who knows what it looks like to be in space. 2001, A Space Odyssey came out, so they're
like space.
You need to hire Stanley Kubrick to fake a moon landing in case our guys die up there.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is a conversation that happened.
Yeah, I'm sure that they probably talked to those astronauts and told them, hey, here's your percentage of living.
Yeah.
Here's your percentage of dying. But
yeah,
that's a good question. So if there was like a, we'll say 50-50 shot of you dying or you becoming a famous astronaut, the first person to walk on the moon, what would you do?
Stay at home.
Really? I would take that 50-50 shot.
You know what, though?
Your name would go down in the records.
Yeah, but you know what? The cold vastness of space reminds me of the cold vastness of the ocean.
Or a hole.
I do not like... Thanks. I do
Last
not
time.
Like the sea. I yeah. would not like space.
You know, no. Random fact, we know more about Mars
than we do about our ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
not surprising at all.
Yeah. The ocean's a scary place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The further down you go, the more horrors there are.
I know.
No.
I saw a Blue Earth, which was all about
the water.
Water, yeah. And it was super intense. Anyway.
Yeah, I imagine. It's a really it's a funny movie. It's incredibly violent. There's a lot of weird shit that happens in it that's
violent.
Yeah, so basically the government loses faith in Ron Perlman's character to do his job because it becomes very apparent that he did not hire Stanley Kubrick. he hires a guy that Rupert Grint's character convinced him was Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
And so they're still having to fake this moon landing with an artsy fartsy German sex maniac director who's just like zonked out on brandy and pills.
Yeah.
And so the CIA guys show up and there's a shootout. There's a crime lord who's also pissed off at Rupert Grint because Rupert Grint borrowed money from him.
Mm-hmm.
They show up and shoot up the place. It's surprisingly violent at the end.
Okay.
I was not expecting that much bloodshed, but overall it's a fun movie. I think it was only released video on demand. I want to say the box office was like in the 130,000s.
Oh, yeah.
Not a whole lot. I have a feeling that this was like a SAG requirement for both Ron Perlman and Rupert Grint to like keep their membership. Sometimes you get some. Sometimes you get some gems where like good actors are in shitty movies because it's like, well, the director's not a union member.
Yeah.
You have to have so many performances not with a union so that other people are getting access to
to that
your star power. So it's like, well, I guess I'm going to have to show up in this shitty person's short film.
Yeah. Well, I mean, luckily it was a short film and you're not doing like a full length.
Yeah, because this was a full length feature film. Yeah. So, but it looked like they had a good time.
Well, that's good. I mean, as long as they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. I also read a book.
Yeah.
The Pathfinder Tales volumes, because
oh.
I like trashy fantasy novels. Like, I like those old Dragonlance books and stuff.
They're good. They're nice.
Pathfinder, or Paizo's doing the same thing with Pathfinder, where they have, like, a book series, and they even have a subscription service to it, where you can just, like, that next month, here's the next book that
is
advances.
It digital, or is it...
It's like, physical.
It's a physical, okay.
Yeah. Now, I picked up the book at a used bookstore, because I saw it, and I was like, oh, I want to see what this is like.
I know Pathfinder. That's a recognizable name.
That's a recognizable name. I love shitty, trashy fantasy novels.
Yeah.
The one that I read was called Shy Knives by Sam Sykes.
Is it about a thief?
Yes, it is.
I got that one right.
You did. This book is very poorly written.
yeah, that does not surprise me.
It's about a rogue.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
I did.
Congrats. You beasted through that.
Yeah. Well, it's not very long either. It was like 250 pages or something.
Oh, okay.
It's about a rogue uncovering a centaur uprising type Ooh. Thing in the outskirts of civilization.
All right, quick question.
Centaurs aren't in Pathfinder, right?
I mean, they're monsters.
I mean, they're monsters, yeah.
But you
they're
can't
not...
play a centaur.
Yeah.
Were there both female centaurs and male centaurs?
No, just male.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Whatever. There goes my question.
Just male.
Because if you're a female centaur... You have to wear a top. That's the question.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So, I used to... sorry, sidetrack, but... I used to read these Xanath books. It was a series of books called The Xanath Chronicles, or something along those lines.
Oh, Pierce Anthony?
I don't know the author on the off the top of my head.
Was the Fantasyland strangely
Florida?
Shaped like Florida?
It I was.
Pierce Anthony.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you read them too, right?
I've read a couple of them. I haven't read all of them.
So they were pretty. It was my first fantasy book, so I hold it in my heart. I know it's pretty trashy. They make plenty of puns.
Yeah.
Like magic puns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then there's like some not like super erotic scenes, but interesting scenes.
Yeah, sex scenes written for like 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where like, oh, your character is like the main character, I believe his name was Dor.
Yeah.
D-O-R. The catch of it was everybody had one magical talent. Like the guy could run super fast, or this dude could fly, but the main character never figured out what his talent was.
Yeah.
And he thought he didn't have any, but it was really, he couldn't be affected by any magic. He was just like a null zone of magic.
Oh, well, and, that's a handy power to
it
have.
It is super handy. But he had, I think, a friend who was a female centaur. And there was, like, a passage about him riding on her, like a horse.
Yeah.
Horse. But, like, it's that thing where you're on a motorcycle and you're riding. You gotta put your hand around the person's waist or grab something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. As growing up as a weird adolescence, that particular scene stuck in my head because she, like, jumped over a ditch or something like that, and he grabbed a handful of centaur breasts.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Oh, that's it?
That's my tangent right okay, there. Cool. Not that the story was good, not that you should go and read that book. That's just some insight into Stuart's life. That's the stuff that stuck with me.
Lovely.
Yeah. That's why I'm so weird. Anyway.
So I'm going to cut all that out.
No,
I'll leave it in. I'm joking.
Care.
So this book, it's written in the first person, which I don't really like because it's trying to be all noirish.
Oh, okay.
But it comes off very ham-handed and just, I don't like the main character, and there's only one character in it because it doesn't follow a party because it's first person.
Yeah.
And so if I don't like the main character, I'm not going to have a good time with the rest of the book.
Yeah. Is there, like, some sort of, I don't know, mystery being solved in the book? Like,
she figures out, like, it's a fake centaur uprising.
Spoilers.
Don't read this book. This isn't a recommendation to read this book. I don't give a shit.
No, but, like, did you... This one's going to be a good podcast.
Yes, this is going to be a great episode.
No, I was just saying, like, was there an incentive for you to keep on reading because you're curious about the mystery? Like, was it something that was teasing you a little bit? Like, who could have done it?
I mean, mainly I finished it because I got 50 pages in. And if I'm 50 pages in, I may as well see how the rest of it ends up.
So you could care less about the mystery. There was no mystery.
There was no mystery because it's plotted out like a noir. You know, going into it that, you know, she's hired to look into someone's death, and it's like that it happened in this uprising. And it's like, oh, I bet it's his wealthy brother who's totally a nice guy, but totally had someone murder him.
Like, because he's standing right there with a knife.
Yeah, like in the Soul Eater thing. Yeah, it's like, well, no, like it's like he's the character is painted to be a good person,
mm-hmm.
and they're very friendly, and they're very nice, and they're very respectful.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, everyone else has been a shade of gray. They're this beacon of light. That's they're going to be the ones that hired some centaurs to murder someone.
Yeah.
Thanks for telegraphing that to me 100 pages in.
Thanks, Paizo. Or whoever wrote this.
It's not Paizo. Sam Sykes is the author.
Has he written anything else that isn't Pathfinder related?
I don't know. I follow an author that was tweeting about, or not tweeting, writing on his website about being at RavenCon, I think, and Sam Sykes being there. So I take it that he's an author that has written stuff. I don't know if he's ever written anything that's not an adaptation of something.
Yes.
Yeah. If that makes sense.
It's hard to make, like, when you have a world for you. Because with most authors, it's that creative juice that gets you flowing and gets you really into writing that book to be excellent.
Right.
When somebody gives you a world and they're like, oh, here are all the guidelines you have to follow.
Yeah.
Don't think outside the box because then it becomes canon and we have to explain it. So you kind of have to write it yourself.
I mean, I guess I would have appreciated it more if he... I think I would appreciate it more if he wrote something that's more in line with what it's like to play a role-playing game, because if you play Pathfinder as a one-player game, you're not going to have a great time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess he captured that. Like,
I guess.
I don't know.
Pathfinder cards, you're not going to have a good time just playing by yourself.
Yeah, like the Pathfinder card game's actually fun. Yeah. But
that will be a conversation for another time.
Yes, it will. The Pathfinder Tales book, this one was not great,
mm-hmm.
but I if you're into the world, you may like it, but...
And I actually was trying to think, there are some adaptations that people have taken of their, like, D&D game and put it into media.
Yeah.
I know there was one anime. I was trying to think of the anime's name.
Lotus War.
Lotus War. Where that was based off of somebody's D&D adventure.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And so...
It's very blatant, too.
I remember the first episode where in, I think it was second edition, barbarians had to have a rage trigger.
Yeah.
So you had, like, people getting hurt or, you know, violence.
Yeah.
Or bread triggers me and makes me rage. So it was always funny just to see this guy rage out because his trigger was, like, this... girl getting hurt.
Oh, this one specific girl getting hurt?
Yeah, this little kid. So whenever the little kid get hurt, you would know, hey, that guy's going to rage out.
So yeah, I guess the other thing that was not the book, because that's obviously a sore subject. I don't recommend the book. Other people may like it for whatever reason.
Yeah, but you're not giving it the Zach's approval.
No, it is not background approved.
No. Oh, so I'm not approving it either.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't read it, so...
Yeah, probably not.
The other thing was the video I was showing you from the 98D Make channel.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
If anyone doesn't know, on YouTube, there's this guy... his channel is 98D Make, all one word. It's the number 9, number 8, but D Make, D-E-M-A-K-E. Mm-hmm. What he does is he's a computer. I think he's a computer.
He's a
programmer
computer?
And graphic artist.
Okay.
That he'll mock up box art for current day video games as if they were made in 1998.
Yeah, and it's really. Cool to see the concepts that he comes out with.
Yeah.
I mean, the one that we saw was Uncharted.
Yeah, Uncharted.
And which is very similar to Lara Croft.
Yeah, like basically the Nathan Drake character comes out, jumps up on some columns, grabs some coins, and then a boulder comes after him, and then he falls into a tiger trap and he's dead.
Yeah. I mean, very...
But it's a cool video. Like it looks like original Tomb Raider. Did you ever play the Tomb Raider games?
I did not.
Okay. So you probably would not have played Uncharted if...
Probably not. You know, the funny thing is I haven't played Uncharted. Yeah. I need to. I mean, everybody tells me the story is good, but because they have four of them out now?
Yes, four. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, four, and then there's... one that's a standalone that's in the same vein as Uncharted, but not part of the main story that the first four are.
Yeah, because I have a PS4, and I do enjoy playing PS games. But yeah, I don't know. I just never fell into that genre. I was never a big fan of the whole exploring sort of deal. Like, I never got into that. I never really got into the Arabian Sands one, where you could go back in time.
Oh, Prince of Persia?
Prince of Persia. I never really got into that, or any of the Lara Crofts.
So, you must not like that genre, then.
It's not that I dislike it, it never really hooked me.
Can I share a deep, dark secret that I found out about you recently? That...
Oh, no! That... Like, this podcast hasn't already turned into a dumpster fire. Sure. Share the secrets.
So, I found out recently you've never seen Indiana Jones?
I have not seen Indiana Jones. Any of them. 1, 2, 3, or 4?
4 you can kind of skip. Okay,
yes. I enjoy Harrison Ford. I enjoy movies. I enjoy good movies. I don't know. I never sat down and watched them.
I mean, it's understandable. Like, yeah. I had never seen Neverending Story, I think, until I was an adult. So.
Yeah. but you saw it. Like, I need to actively go out and just watch those movies. But yeah, it's kind of that same genre.
Like explorer, pulpy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it's good, and I know why people like it. I just never really got into it, so...
Yeah.
I haven't watched those movies. I need to watch those movies. And I haven't really played any of those games.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you should try them. They are fun. I will say the third one is probably the... Oh, I haven't played the fourth one.
Okay.
The third one's probably the best, mm-hmm. I think, which is odd because usually it's the first one that's good. But, you know, Dark Souls is the same way. I think the third one's the best.
Yeah.
Even though I suck at Dark Souls.
Well, the third Dark Souls that came out was the newest one.
Yeah.
Some Dark Souls, like, big fans don't actually like the third one because they think that's too easy. Because the biggest thing about Dark Souls is...
Get good, scrub.
Yeah, get good, and it's not going to handhold you at all. No. You choose where you want to go. Because I remember...
Want to pick a fight with a mushroom man? Be my guest.
Yeah. Learn his patterns. Learn how to dodge. And stop face-fucking it. That's a big thing, too. Where you're, like, right in front of him, and he'll kill you. Yeah. Learn how to pivot. Because I played Dark Souls 2. I ended up playing the bookstore that we usually go to, the used one, mm-hmm. where it has all the video games too. I ended up picking up Dark Souls 2. It wasn't like the remastered or anything like that.
It was
the original with all of its glory. And yeah, I ended up playing through it and beating it. I did have to look up a guy.
Wow.
It just happened.
There are some games like that. Like I
got to a point where I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And again, Dark Souls doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah.
So I had to...
Figure it out, asshole.
Yeah, and you know, I played it about a year ago, so it's not like I couldn't find something about it. Plenty of people were in lots of different things about that game. So yeah.
Okay.
So a couple things that I did, I ended up going to one of, I guess, our favorite restaurants.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I go here every year for my birthday.
Shoya is a traditional Japanese restaurant here in Atlanta. I went to that restaurant after traveling in Japan, and it was amazing because it was like, it was plucked out of Japan and just placed right here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It had all of the traditional things that a Japanese restaurant would have.
Yeah.
Where they have a little buzzer that you can press if you want your server to come by.
Oh, yeah. Your server will not come to you, other than seating you at the table, will not come until you hit this buzzer, because that lets them know, oh, this table needs some service.
Yes, this and table so is ready. And so they
can be doing other things while you're... It's an efficient use of their time.
Yeah, instead of them coming over every, like, 10 minutes saying, oh, are you ready to order? Oh, do you need anything else?
Yeah.
Do you need refills? Things along those lines.
They don't want to bother you for doing... You're paying for food. You bother them.
Yeah. It's an efficient way to use their time.
Yeah.
So that was excellent. They've got a sushi bar where you can actually... And that's where I went. I went to the restaurant by myself. It's okay going to restaurants by yourself. I don't understand. There's like a stigma to like going to a restaurant by yourself. I don't think that's a big deal.
No.
Yeah. So I went down and I sat at the sushi bar.
Okay.
Interesting fact, they have opened up two different businesses next to them. This actual restaurant.
Oh yeah, and we've seen it's the one with the conveyor belt where you take plates off when you
want. Sushi conveyor.
Yeah.
Where you can basically sit at a table, all the tables have a conveyor next to them, and there is constantly food going by, which is great. And then you can take a particular plate that looks appetizing, eat it, and then you put the plate into this machine that counts up how many plates you've eaten.
Yeah.
And I believe after every 5 plates that you've eaten, it'll drop out like a little special toy for you in one of those little balls so you can open it
up. Gotcha pie machine?
Yeah. So it's really cool. And then at the end of it, the server will come out. They'll look at how many plates you have. If you end up going with somebody, you can be like, I had 5 plates. This other person had 6.
Yeah.
So it's easy to split the checks. And it's really cool. It's a very catchy idea. I've been there twice. Their food's okay. It's food that needs to sit in a conveyor. unfortunately.
Yeah, like, that's something that, like, even in Japan, I'm like, that's kind of sketch. Like, I don't really want to... Yeah. Like, it's a cool idea.
It's a cool idea. But the sushi, it's good sushi, but it's not quality sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next door to them, they have an actual noodle place. It's a noodle restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really cool because they don't have a menu. They have a window, like in Japan, where it has all their food, like, set up. So you can look into this window and see, oh, that looks appetizing. Let me go into this restaurant. Instead of, like, going into a restaurant, looking at a menu, and going, oh, they don't have what I want.
Yeah.
You have this, like, window at the very, at the front of the store.
It's for visual thinkers.
Yeah. Where you can go, oh, I want this particular thing.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten there yet, but it looks really good. So I did go to Shoya. I got their ramen. Oh, God, their ramen is fantastic.
I always get the okonomiyaki, which is... Guys, okonomiyaki is Japanese potato pancake with fish and veggies and all of the goodness in it. Yeah. It is delicious. Anyway.
Their ramen's fantastic. I also recommend their ramen. It's a beef... in a beef stew, and they basically just take all the beef and they boil it in a pot for 12 hours, mm-hmm. and they use that as the broth. And it is good.
Fantastic.
It is thick. It's so thick. And the noodles, they make in-house, so the noodles are so good, too.
Well, you know, after college, before she went to grad school, my wife went to Japan on a research trip with Steam. And a couple of other students. And while they were there, it was ramen wars going on. So the people were, like, putting forth their best foot in terms of ramen and just eat this. Because they didn't know who was a reviewer for what.
Yeah. So they were just making the...
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Food Wars?
No, I haven't seen Food Wars, no.
You should... I know it's not, like, on... Netflix or anything. Yeah. I believe it's on Crunchyroll. But it's great. It's one of the series that I've been watching, and it's really good. The main character makes food so good, people's clothes burst off.
So it's a fan service anime.
It's not fan service. They're like, oh, the edamame is so great. The flavor, so good! And it hits them to that point of ecstasy.
So it's funny you mention that. I was I was reading a thing a few days ago, and it was talking about a manga. At first I thought Food Wars was the manga what you were telling me about.
Maybe it started off as a manga.
Well, I don't know if it did, because the manga I was reading about, what I thought Food Wars was when you brought that up, was... it's like D&D adventurers in a dungeon, and as they're going down, like, they prepare food?
You can prepare food, yeah. That's, I believe it's how to pick up a girl in a dungeon. How to pick up a girl in a dungeon, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's probably what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's like a cooking manga, but it's...
Oh, it's not a cooking one. It's a D&D one, where they're going into a dungeon.
Yeah.
And
they're taking, like, flaming oil traps, and it's, like, vinegar oil, and so they're cooking with it. And
that's not...
They're cooking slimes and stuff.
It's where, like, you're a D&D character, and you have particular gods or goddess that are kind of, like...
Oh, okay.
Helping you out, and you defeat monsters, and your stats can go up, and your stats are all on your back. And
so you don't know what your stats are.
Yeah, and then you have to have your god or goddess to sort of, like, level you up and read you your stats and things like that. It's interesting. And the goddess can, like, bless your weapons.
Is that a manga or is it a game?
It's an anime. How to pick up girls in a dungeon.
Huh.
It's either how to pick up girls in a dungeon or how to pick up a lady in a dungeon. I think it's girls. Anyway, back to Shoya. So Shoya is great. So I got the ramen, and of course I had to go and get a Kirin Ichiban, because it's number one.
Ichiban mean number one.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, you order this beer and it's like a giant just bottle of beer that you're pouring yourself. There was a guy next to me that I kind of talked to for a little bit. He also had a beer, but he had it in a giant mug. Like, all their alcohol is served in large containers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also got sushi. I got their big rolls, which they usually stuff all sorts of different good things in it. But this place is the best. Again, you know, I've been to Japan for about 3 months, and I definitely feel like this is the most authentic Japanese food I've ever eaten.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe later in our careers as a podcaster, you'll hear some of my adventures in Japan, because it was crazy.
Yeah, you were there for quite a while. So,
yes. Other than that, a new expansion came out for Hearthstone.
Okay.
It was the Witchwood. We did talk about that in our Hearthstone podcast.
Yeah.
It hadn't come out yet, but is now out. It's been out for a while now. I've been kind of busy, so I've finally been able to dip my feet into the Hearthstone pool.
So how is Witchwood then?
It's good. The meta has definitely switched to more aggressive meta, where people are trying to make decks that will kill you quickly. Because there are, unfortunately, I'm not sure if the developers meant to do this, but there's a couple of combos that are really annoying. There's a shutter of combos.
Yeah.
So particular cards that can be played in a row that will create a somewhat infinite loop. which is annoying when you're playing a game that's supposed to take a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
A couple minutes per turn, not the entire game.
Yeah.
There is a card that they've created called a Shutter Walk. It's a specifically for a shaman, but this card can end up creating an infinite loop. So people, to combat that, they're making more aggressive decks to kill off the opponent before they can actually kick off their combo. Because this card copies any sort of battle cry that you've played before. And a battle cry is basically when you play a minion and you put it down on the field, it has an effect. So the way that you do this is there's a card that has a battle cry that summons a copy of that minion. So you play that. There's another card that its battle cry is return all of your minions to your hand. They now cost one. There's another minion that you play, and it deals 3 damage to the opponent and 3, or heals you for 3. And then there's yet another minion, where it has a battle cry that makes all other battle cries happen twice. Yeah, so you basically play all of those minions, then you play your Shutter Walk. So, and the Shutter Walk's battle cries happen randomly. And you're basically creating multiple copies of the Shutter Walk. The battle cries are happening multiple times. You're getting all those Shutter Walks back in your hand, and they only cost one. And then you're draining your opponent. The problem is, all the animations have to happen for these effects.
Yeah.
And your turn can't finish until all these animations happen. So you're basically playing this card, and your turn's over. Like, your turn is done, but your turn's not officially done, because it's still happening.
Yeah.
Which is super annoying. I dislike it a lot. Unfortunately, I had to make the deck just to play it, so I could see what all the hubbub was about.
Yeah.
And luckily, like I said, I usually spend about $50 on the set. I got the card when I was opening up my cards, so I didn't have to create any additional cards because I had all the old cards and stuff like that.
Sure.
So yeah, it's super annoying. Luckily, it's not as prevalent now because there's a lot more aggro. And like I said, you know, I listed off a bunch of cards you have to play.
Yeah.
So you usually try to kill that person before they get all their cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm really enjoying it. There's a lot of different decks coming out, which is great because it gives it more variety. And I think they did a really well job of creating the set because there are multiple strategies that you can take.
Okay.
I've been definitely spending probably an hour or two. Since I have it on my phone, I can kind of play it on the downtime. You know, when I'm waiting for something or if we're doing something. Like when I went to Shoya, there was a wait because it was a Saturday. So,
Ooh, yeah.
And this restaurant definitely brings the people out.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you get a good mix of different people from different nationalities.
Yeah.
Though I will say it's probably 50% Asian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the frustrating things that I saw recently was that Mark Ruffalo, when he was here filming things for Marvel, apparently went to Shoya and tweeted out.
Oh, did he?
Everyone needs to try out this restaurant. And it's like,
dude,
you need to shut the fuck up about something. We need to keep it on the down low. I don't want a bunch of people coming up and making it so that I can't eat there. I mean, it's great business for Shoya.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to go out of business.
And that's why they were able to open, like, these two additional places right next door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're... One, they're in a facility that has a bunch of space for lease.
Yeah.
And two, you would think that they were competing with themselves, but they have just so many people who want that kind of niche feel of great, authentic Japanese food that they have plenty of people at each restaurant. Like, I saw that there was a wait for the sushi place and the wait for the noodle place.
Yeah. No, like, it's... I'm so happy that they're doing well. Because, like, for the longest time, the place where it's at is an out-of-the-way place.
Yeah. It's like behind a car dealership.
Well, so it was originally going up right around the 08, like, financial crisis.
Yeah.
And so the only thing there for the longest time was there was an Asian travel agency, the H Mart, and then Shoya, and that was it. But now... You know, there's only a few spots left that are empty. Like, there are offices there. There's a Vietnamese place, a banh mi shop across the way from Shoya now.
Yeah.
Korean barbecue opened up. Like,
Man.
Yeah.
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 So, highly recommend it. If you do try to go there on a weekend, just be prepared to wait.
Yeah.
Luckily, since I was going by myself, I was able to sit at the bar. I got to watch them make sushi as I was eating my ramen. But like I was saying, I had to wait so I could just play on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that they have it on the phone. It's where I get most of my play time on. And I'm trying to do that climb. Just trying to climb up to legendary. It's definitely a bit of a grind. And I've got quite a few decks. Because again, you know, I have a lot of the cards and... They were nice enough. Well, they were nice enough. When you spent the $50 for the cards before the set came out, they gave you 70 packs instead of 50 packs because they normally give you 50 packs. But this time they gave you 70 because of a promotion. So that was nice.
Good to be an early adopter.
Yeah. and I've just been having a lot of fun. I've been... mainly playing Odd Paladin. So it's a deck that has a particular card that upgrades your hero power. Your hero power, you can spend 2 mana and put down a 1-1 guy. This one, you can spend 2 mana and put down 2 1-1 guys.
Oh, okay.
But it makes a restriction on you can only have odd cost cards in your deck. So you can only play cards with a mana cost of 3, 5, 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It gives you a different perspective of deck building. Because you can only play with half of the cards that you want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been playing with that. I play with a Spiteful Druid, where it's a card, it's called a Spiteful Summoner. and they will randomly pick a spell out of your deck, and then you get to summon a minion with that converted cost of that spell card. Hmm. So you only run high spells, high costing spells, so when you play your summoner, you always get a high cost minion. Hmm. So it's fun.
Okay.
But yeah, I really have been enjoying Hearthstone. I like it a lot. I think that the expansion that just came out was really fun, and that the changes that they've made, because it's a new season, so a lot of cards got phased out into Wild.
Hmm.
Also, just found out, Ben Brode, when I showed you the...
I saw on Reddit that someone named that was leaving.
Yes, yeah. He is leaving. And he was unfortunately the face of Hearthstone. He was the lead director of Hearthstone.
Oh,
yeah.
Any scuttlebutt about why he's...
I don't know. I have no idea. I just recently saw it.
So we don't know yet if he voluntarily stepped down or if Blizzard was like, you need to voluntarily step down.
Yeah.
Was he voluntold to...
I'm thinking it's probably on his accord.
Okay.
From
because Hearthstone's small... a moneymaker for them.
Yeah. Yeah. For the small little, because I saw it on a news feed that I had, and I was reading some of the comments to see if anybody had any insight on why he left.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anything. But a lot of people were sad because he is the face. When we watched the trailer for the new set.
Yeah.
He was the guy with the big beard who was always laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, his laugh is iconic. He has, like, that full, deep belly, like, ha-ha-ha laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, whoever is going to step into his position has big shoes to fill. It does kind of make me a little worried because, you know, change always makes somebody worried. Like, I enjoy Hearthstone. I don't want it to change too much. Yeah. I, of course, want them to innovate and come up with new... and creative ideas.
Sure.
I just don't want it to be so strange that it's not Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wish Ben Brode the best. If you're listening, you ever want an interview, you can always reach out to us.
Please do.
But yeah, so that's kind of what I've been doing over the weekend. I've also been playing Undertale. As we talked about on a previous Me, I was doing the genocide run of Undertale since I did the...
Having fun with that?
It hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Because I love Undertale. It's one of my top 10 games. The music is great. The writing is great. The gameplay is fantastic.
Yeah. It's one of the few games I've seen on Steam that has a separate download for its soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's that and Darkest Dungeon are the two that sell their soundtrack separately, which is cool.
Their soundtrack is fantastic. So I've been going through the genocide run, and it hurts because you make all these friends on your neutral run and your pacifist run. Like, everybody's all buddy-buddy. And it just killing them just really, like, grips at your soul and shakes you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not going to try to get into that many spoilers, but it's funny because the genocide run, the game is physically trying to stop. Not physically, just it's trying to stop you because you are a monster.
Yeah.
So the game mechanics are stopping you. They're putting up such a hard barrier to cross that I just want you to give up and quit and just never play that game again or play it in pacifist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the final boss. I'm not going to say who the final boss is.
I know who the final boss is.
Yeah. me and you know. I'm not going to spoil it for the listeners. But boy, is that hard. That, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm trying. The funny part is, it kind of keeps track of how many times you die.
Is there a permadeath option where if you die like 3 or 4 times?
No.
Oh.
No. And that particular boss is meant for you to give up. It's meant for you to stop.
Yeah.
Just drop your controller and never come back. But Stuart, He's determined. He's got determination. So, you know, I'm sure by me number 10, I'll be like, I beat it! Yeah, so that's everything I've been really playing.
Okay.
Trying to think if I've watched anything. Nothing really that comes to mind. I haven't really watched much of my, I've been dealing with a bunch of other stuff, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess I got one other thing, is I went and saw the Tomb Raider movie.
Oh, okay. We were just talking about that.
It's...
That would have been a segue.
Yeah, it would have been a segue. But no, so the Tomb Raider movie is actually with Alicia Vikander mm-hmm. is really good.
Oh, okay.
Granted, they lifted a lot of stuff from the
game.
Most recent iteration of the game.
Yeah, where she has like a bow and she's fighting cultists?
It's been a while since I've played it. I don't think they're cultists. In the movie, they're guys going on a dig to find a thing. Mm-hmm. The movie is well done. It's well paced. Characters develop. I'm looking forward to the sequel.
Oh, I think it's definitely going to get a sequel.
They'd be stupid not to. I mean, they gave the Angelina Jolie one a sequel.
Oh, I didn't even realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Cradle of Life. So,
oh wow.
Okay, jeez. let me back up a second here. So the one with Angelina Jolie is called Lara Croft. : Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because she is Lara Croft, a Tomb Raider.
So, for the sequel, the name of the sequel is Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, : Cradle of Life. If they kept the same convention, what the sequel should have been was Lara Croft, : Tomb Raider, : Cradle of Life.
But too many colons. You don't want to have too many colons.
Too many colons.
Or you get a colonoscopy.
But no, the newest one that came out in 2018 is really good. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Alicia Vikander is married to Michael Fassbender. He was also in the Assassin's Creed movie, which is another video game movie that I think is a good movie.
So it's all becoming interconnected.
Yeah. Which I'll talk about interconnectedness in a second, but uh-oh. I think it's interesting that, you know, both of them, I don't know if he has won an Academy Award. I know that she has.
Okay.
Why are Academy Award winning actors in video game movies now?
Because like, they make money. They make money. People love seeing that. And I'm sure that they think that it's going to have that gamer draw to it. Like Ready yeah. Player One, you know, had.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
Yeah. Did when you do... Remember to stand up and clap for your thing that you really like.
Yeah. Is that what people are doing?
No, that's what Steven Spielberg said. He said when he was making that movie, he wanted the audience to see the thing that they liked, be it Halo, be it Pokemon, be it whatever, and stand up in the theater and clap. So you better...
When
Steven
Spielberg needs to stop making goddamn movies. When was the last movie he made
I don't think good? He didn't make this movie. He produced it, I believe.
No, he directed
it. Oh, he directed it? Yeah. Oh, okay, well.
He may have also produced it, but he directed it.
Okay, yeah, well. Gosh. Anyway. Yeah, so I think...
Saving Private Ryan, I think, is the last good movie he made.
Yeah.
20 years ago. Just saying. He needs to stop.
I like Super 8. Super 8 was all right.
Don't that give was J.J. Abrams.
Oh. Oh, no.
That was not even Steven Spielberg.
Oh, no. This is bad. You're going to cut that, right?
Nope.
This one's going to be one of our best ones. Yes. Our best trash fire. Anyway.
So the movie's good. If you watch the Assassin's Creed movie and want a movie of the Assassin's Creed video game, mm-hmm. it fails in that regard.
Yeah.
Again, but the movie itself is good, yeah. I think. As it, like, if you went into it without knowing what Assassin's Creed was, it was good.
Okay.
I like it. Tomb Raider.
Played any of the Assassin's Creeds, so.
Oh, yeah, they're fun. Yeah. They're kind of mindless, but they're fun. Mm-hmm. I have a good time with them. Yeah. It's a good stress relief, because I like just running around and
stabbing
people and stealing items and... but yeah, no, the Tomb Raider movie, I highly recommend it. It's kind of in the vein of one of, I know you haven't seen Indiana Jones, but it's kind of in the vein.
I keep on bringing that up.
Well, it's in the vein of one of the Indiana Jones movies where it's like the bad guys would not be able to do what they're doing mm-hmm. if she didn't get involved. Like, they're only able to do what they're wanting to do because she inserts herself.
And they didn't know that she was going to insert herself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird.
There's a really interesting chase scene where, like, they're establishing what she's doing. And she's kind of scraping by for money mm-hmm. because she refuses to sign paperwork stating that her father is dead. So yeah. She doesn't have access to any of the estate money that she's due, yeah. right? Because she's... The Crofts are a rich family.
Yeah. And she legitimately believes that her
father is alive still. And so she shows her, like, not being able to afford her personal her boxing trainer, whatever, mm-hmm. or jiu-jitsu, or whatever she's doing. So she's picking up some side money by doing a fox hunt, which is what bicyclists in London, I don't know if this is an actual thing, it mm-hmm. looks kind of cool. What they do is there's a bunch of bicyclists and they're chasing after the fox, which yes. She as the fox.
Oh, so she's the fox.
She's the fox. On her bicycle, there's a tail that they just attach to like an arm on the bicycle.
Yeah.
And they attach.
Kind of like Pee Wee Herman style.
Kind of. Yeah.
On his bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the back, they attach a paint bucket. That before the race, they'll punch a hole in it. They have to track her her trail. She gets like a 30-second head start. But mm-hmm. they have to track her trail and try and rip the foxtail off of wherever it's attached on her bike.
That's kind of a cool game.
If she can avoid them for however long it takes for the paint bucket to run out, mm-hmm. she gets the whatever money, whatever the buy-in pot is.
Yeah.
And there's a really cool chase scene in the beginning just establishing that she's, like, she's sneaky and she knows how to get away with stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's really cool.
It's cool.
But the thing you were talking about with interconnectedness, and this is my last thing.
Oh, no, not your last thing.
Have you talked about, or have you seen the shared universe in video game movies that they're going to make?
No.
So there are two movies into it right now. Would you like me to go through the roster?
I'm guessing Lara Croft?
So the first one was Hitman, Agent 47.
Okay.
The one that came out.
Never seen?
It came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Tomb Raider is the second one.
So is there like a Hitman in Tomb Raider who just...
No, he's not in it. Like, my understanding is that they're gearing up to have a crossover movie at some point, like the Avengers, because...
Yeah, because the Avengers, make so much money. Why not?
So there's five that they've announced.
Let's see if I care about any of these.
What I want you to do is sit back and try and figure out how they're going to connect these.
Okay, right? I mean...
Hitman and Tomb Raider, that's fine. Easy. I get that. That's an easy crossover.
If you're throwing Sonic in this, though...
No. They're all generated from a single company, though.
Okay.
Just Cause is the third one.
Okay. There's lots of explosions.
I could see a crossover with Hitman, Tomb Raider, and Just Cause. I could see a crossover.
Because the guy has a grappling hook and like a, a hang glider or something?
Parachute. Yeah, it's like a control chute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ready for the fourth one?
I'm holding onto my seat with anticipation.
Deus Ex.
Okay. Yeah, that one's a little weird.
Now, Hitman Agent 47, and Tomb Raider take place in ostensibly the present day.
Yeah, and so just does...
Cause, just Cause could... It, I could see them saying, like, fiddling with the timeline and maybe taking Hitman and Just Cause and going, this is like 5 years in the future.
Yeah, which I can see.
But Deus Ex is like 50 years in the future.
Yeah, with all of his, like, upgrades and...
Yeah.
Yeah, bionic arms and legs.
Okay, so are you ready for the fifth one?
Yeah.
Thief.
Okay. So time traveling?
Fantasy world. Thief. No, that's not time travel. It's
I mean, you could theoretically. You could be like, this is in the Middle Ages where he's stealing.
I want to know who the producer in charge is for this film series, because yeah. How, like, are they going to have Tomb Raider find an artifact that was used in Thief and that be the only reference? Because that's the only way I could tie it into it.
Portals. Portals.
Magic portals?
Magic portals. That answers everything.
Okay.
Always put in the portals. Yeah. No, but yeah, I can see the three. I can see the Just Cause, Hitman,
Tomb Raider. Yeah,
yeah, but when you're throwing in...
Deus Ex and Thief? Like, that's just... That's bizarre. Like, why would you...
Weren't there, like, giant, like, watching robots in Thief? Like, the... Or am I thinking of something else?
I think you're thinking of Dishonored.
Dishonored. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, I think it's the same studio that put those out, so that's understandable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird thing, and I'm not sure how they're going to put that all together. What's their timeline? Do they have, like, a timeline?
I think Just Cause is, like, I don't know how they're going to do it, but the Just Cause, I think, is supposed to come out in 2020. Okay. And so Deus Ex and Thief are going to follow shortly after, like, within the same year, is my understanding. Yeah. So...
Good luck.
Yeah, good like, luck. I don't know. I mean, you know, Tomb Raider was over $100 million budget for this movie, so it's... And it's doing fairly well, I think.
But, like, what did Hitman do? I assume that Hitman was probably not that big of a box office.
It's okay. It's kind of like a James Bond movie without James Bond.
Yeah, with a bald guy who's albino? Albino bald guy?
No, he's just... bald. He's just a really white dude.
Oh, that was albino.
Well, no, because he got blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, no, that's a really weird film universe.
Yeah.
Do like why? I don't understand the point in throwing in Deus Ex and Thief.
Is money. Money's the point.
Yeah, but you saw how well the last Thief video game did. Like.
It didn't do well?
No, not at all.
That's sad.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I have to admit, though, I like shitty things sometimes, so I...
What kind of, like, I guess, what video game universe would you like to see kind of formed into a super movie bonanza?
You mean an MCU, quote-unquote?
Yeah, sort of like an MCU... And they don't have to be from, like, the same studio or anything like that. It could have been...
I mean, Uncharted is a good... Would be super simple to do.
Yeah. Maybe Uncharted with The Last of Us.
Yeah, Uncharted.
Have just the character Nathan...
In, like, a crossover? Like, in Last of Us?
Maybe.
Yeah. I much prefer Last of Us as a movie because... I don't think Last of Us is a game.
Yeah.
I didn't have fun playing it.
You felt bad?
No, I didn't feel bad. I feel like they were telegraphing what was going to happen so far into the story that I had no desire to keep playing the game because I got about a third of the way in. Once I met all the characters, I go, let me see if this ends the way I think it's going to end. So I look up the spoilers and I go, yep, it's going to end exactly how I thought it was.
Did you finish the game?
Nope.
Ah, Zach, come on. Gotta finish the game at least.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like the design of the clicker things.
So, and this is all from the same studio. I would like to sort of see Killer's Dead mixed with No More Heroes.
You're Suda 51, dude.
Yes, I am. Mixed with, like, Killer 7.
Okay. Well, Killer 7 and Killer's Dead are the same, right?
Yeah, but it one takes place. I'd like to just see all of the
all the Suda games, like Lollipop Chainsaw. And
yeah,
James Gunn. You know James Gunn wrote Lollipop Chainsaw.
I did not know that.
He was the writer for that. He had never written a video game before, and apparently he was just like, Suda is a he's a weird guy to communicate with.
I bet he is.
He's like, I had no idea that there was so much in... Because, like, he wrote the story and the dialogue, but he's like, it didn't occur to me until I had to do it that there have to be different interactions, and you have to script for the voice actor every...
Yeah. But yeah, probably just a mixture of that, because it would be a weird, wacky movie, or, like, series of movies.
Yeah.
It would be very trippy. I think that would be fun.
No, that would be very fun.
Yeah. So, I guess the last thing that I got is, so we all ended up, this wasn't last week, but it was a little bit ago, going over to a friend's place and playing some Jackbox games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which was really fun. I got to bring my computer over to my buddy's place, and that was the first time you got to see the model that I was creating. I know on a previous podcast, I had talked about how I was working on a model using Unity.
VRChat,
yeah. So that was the first time you got to see said character.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's your...
I think it's a very well-designed character.
Yeah, you got to see all the bones and the process and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it looks... it looks like something that I would see in a professionally produced anime.
Yeah, I don't think it was that good.
No, the character design. Oh. I mean, I didn't see it in motion. I just saw the thing. I'm... Like, you were showing me the work print screen, and, like, that was some serious, like... Photoshop level bullshit in terms of like little bars and meters and stuff you had to learn how to use. Like, I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of just looking at YouTube and figuring stuff out. And again, you know, once you get the bone structure, once you get the skeleton, it's fairly easy. VRChat does a lot to just like make simple processes and things like that. Yeah, I got to show you all the bone structure and stuff like that. The bone structure and the hair, and then the
breasts. You can say it. The breasts. You have gigantic breasts on that character.
The breast bone structure. You gotta have boob physics, right?
Yeah, I had no idea the breasts had bones in them.
Yeah, the bone breast. The breast bones. Yeah, so I got to show you that. Then I realized that VRChat doesn't integrate with the newest Unity, that you have to get an older version of Unity. So that totally killed me, and I haven't even touched that character yet. Mm. I know. It's when you put in all that work, and you're like, yeah, I'm sure there's probably some way to migrate it to the older version. I don't know. Once you hit that, like, wall of, like, all of your time that you put into this is pretty much wasted, it's really hard to get back into it. So, I showed them that. We played a bunch of Jackbox games, the newest Jackbox, which was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. We actually streamed it for a couple of friends that live out in Oregon.
Yeah.
So, they got to join us. We were on Discord just chatting, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a great time. Those Jackbox games are so fun, and yeah, if anyone ever gets a chance to download them or take part, as because you can take part as an audience member and just watch them
you can
Twitch, as long as it's a public
Yeah.
Channel.
And, you know, usually my channel's very public. So, yeah, and it's just cool to see, because I played the You Don't Know Jack games.
Yeah.
Back in...
On the PS1.
Well, yeah, on the computer.
On the computer.
Yeah.
Too, yeah.
We even played it during high school and, like, in classes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see the innovation that they've done. Because I really missed the boat on Jackbox games. Like, I played the third and fourth one. I haven't seen any of the newest, or the later ones, but the newest ones we've played. And again, yeah, it's just a lot of fun when you have a lot of people together. Everybody has a smartphone, so people can just play off of their phones.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. You learn a lot of new things about your friends that you never knew. And it's a good time.
Yeah, I really like the, because we don't have it on the one that we have. The one that we have has Trivia Murder Party.
Yeah, you have the third box.
Yeah. The one that I really liked was the Monster Dating.
Yeah, that's one. On the that fourth one.
Okay.
Yeah, Monster Seeking Monster.
Yeah.
I mean, it all depends on how rude you want to be.
Yeah.
Because you're sending text messages to other people and you're just like...
Yeah.
Being
some of the ones that I was sending were kind of like blue, but I think I was just sending those to you. Not great.
Yeah.
Offensive.
I mean, you like, know, we could.
Baby want to fuck?
Yeah. I mean, we could. Since we know each other, we could just like. You knew I wouldn't take offense to that when I assume you weren't going to do this to my friend's wife.
No. I'm not.
She'd probably look at it and be like, I'm sorry, but you gotta leave my place.
Yeah. Just pause game.
Yeah.
Listen, you gotta get the fuck out. You gotta leave.
But other than that, that's pretty much all I've got. One announcement.
Okay.
It's super big. Okay. I am creating a webcomic.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to talk about it a little bit. It's still in the process. I'm pretty sure the name's going to be like Stuart Stories, but I'm not 100% sure. I know that we're going to definitely, I'll talk about it once it becomes more of a solid thing here, and we'll discuss it on the cast, as well as I will definitely have the link on the podcast on the website.
Yeah.
But my father's a professional artist. I have a writing degree, so we've decided to merge forces to create this great thing.
Yeah.
Great? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say great until it turns out shitty, and then I'll be
it's having read great some shitty. Of the preliminary stuff for it, like, it's great.
Yeah. So
they're funny, because you are, unlike me, who is a hermit and just sits inside and plays video games and movies, you, like a regular person, actually go out and have interesting stories and interactions with people.
Well, no, it's more, I'm weird, and I am socially, not awkward, like, I'm fine talking to people, but my mannerisms and things like that are odd.
Good. I think we came out of this dumpster fire unscathed.
I mean, I'm a little burnt.
Well, whatever.
My clothes are now a bit ashy and it's got some dump on it. Hopefully this wasn't too bad. Let us know if you like it. I mean, if this is more, I don't know. I felt like we were a little bit more free-balling it.
Free-balling it
near the pee freestyle. Hole.
Freeballing near the pee hole. Okay, we've got a title.
No, please. Yeah, so if you want to, you know, let us know how the podcast is, you can always send us an email at backrowsupershow@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can send me an email saying, Stuart, watch some Indiana Jones. I'll read it, and I will consider probably watching it.
Yeah.
But again, that's BackrowSupershow@gmail.com.
Yep. We're also on Facebook at Backrow Super Show, four separate words. Apple Podcasts as Backrow Super Show, and Patreon as patreon.com/BackrowSupershow. There is a theme there.
Yep. So if you probably Google Backrow Super Show, I'm sure it'll maybe show us.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But again, thanks for listening. We always appreciate our listeners.
Yep.
Yeah. And
we'll see you guys next time. I don't know when this is going to drop, so I'm not sure what the next episode is.
Yeah, I mean, we can just...
Yeah.
Or because this is supposed to be more... We can edit, like... You could put in, like, a small segment of, like, next show is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
that's a podcast max there.
Yeah, behind the scenes podcast.
All right, guys. Have a good one.